This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Hello, 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 hello. It's Leslie. Serena's here and Pearl is here and we're going to have another party.
And Dawn is here.
And John is here. And Ben is here. And Jeremiah is here. And Remy is here. And Solly is here. And Haven is here. I always...
The color.
Haven is one of Serene's beautiful girls and she's in charge of the younger girls, the younger kids today. So, all right, party away.
All right. So, Serene kind of steered the ship last week. So, my turn this week, and I've been thinking about something, and you know, actually, I was going to say I'm the one that usually brings a practical, but the whole last week was on practical is actually not what you think it is. The belief is the practical thing, not all the little tips and tricks and, oh, do this and have that meal. Really, what you believe is your practical force in your life. But this week I was kind of pondering something more theological. I am the sort of person that, you know, well, this is actually going to be about Trim Healthy Journey, but I'm going to start off with my upbringing and my faith. So I'm a pastor's kid and, you know, and I'm a Christian. And they always said, you know, go have your quiet time, right? Where you read your Bible and you get something out of it. And then you do your prayer and, you know, or you go through a little devotional. I personally have never gotten much from devotionals. And I have gotten a lot out of my own self reading the Bible for myself. But, you know, I watch Serene sometimes do it and she's like full of downloads and just jumps out on the page to her and it doesn't as much for me. But I realized, I was reading a book this last week. It's actually called Moving Your Invisible Boundaries. Ben here, cousin Ben, recommended it to us. And I didn't pick it up for the first, month? And then I was on a plane and I picked it up and my mind was blown by Dr. Jim Richards. Anyway, so it's really about your belief system, what you believe about the Bible and persuading your heart. But he brought scriptures that I had seen all my life and suddenly he presented them in a way that was just so, as Serene said last week, these are scriptures, but they became so practical to me. I looked at them and it was a whole new light. And I realized this. Man, I'm so glad for teachers. Teachers in this world. We need teachers. But some of us are teachers, but we're teachers for different things. And I realize, yes, we all have to have our own relationship with God and with the Bible, but I'm one who I benefit so greatly from teachers.
I tell you what, I love that verse. I don't know where it's found either. I'm not really great at it's found in such and such. But it's that one, he gives teachers and pastors and prophets to build you up into your, to your perfect faith or to you. What is that verse?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know it word for word.
Yeah.
But he gives. And God realized we need teachers. So he didn't actually, if he realized the need for them, he didn't actually say to each one of us, you're going to have to get all you ever need by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not supposed to put that much on ourselves that we need to get everything by himself. And you know what? Paul is one of the greatest teachers in the Bible. And you know what I realized he did, spent most of his time doing? Paul? You know what teaching is a lot? Yes, it's expounding on things and open people's eyes to things. But then after that,
reminding,
it's bringing people back when they go away.
Yeah.
People get off track. I get off track. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, guys, you've lost your first love. Oh, guys, you've been, you know, getting into all this stuff and that's not the true truth. Come on back to the true truth. Hey, he was like, oh, hey, guys, you've lost your first love. Or, hey, guys, you've been into this real legalism. Stop with your legalism. Or on the other side, it's like, hey, guys, you've been really, you know, permissive. Stop with this permissive junk. That's not the true truth. Come back to the true truth.
Mm.
And then he preached the true truth.
So
and
good.
I still want to get my own downloads from the Bible and still read it for myself, but I'm just one who needs that.
Oh, I tell you what, me too. I love that book that you're reading. Yeah. I'm like three quarters of the way too with like underlines and crazy.
Brilliant.
I just love it. It's been bringing revelation. And I I love to, in the shower,
yeah.
I love to put on teachers. Like I love to listen to my Graham Cook.
Yeah.
And so new things.
And all of thinking about that, I was sitting on the plane and then it just jumped into my head. Well, Pearl, you're a teacher. You know, what a big responsibility. Because I remember when we first wrote that first Trim Healthy book, Serene, we didn't know what was going to happen to it. You know, we had no idea of all this that was going to happen.
No, nothing. Yeah.
But then we thought to ourselves, well, we're writing a book. And we already had quite a few people like following us and calling us all day. And we would, you know, write their stuff down on scribble notes and like, you know, send it to them. I was writing emails and we're just taking phone calls all day. So we had this little organic
following. I
remember
your little cockroach trailer home, right?
Cockroach.
And you had this like real non-professional little office where we wrote the book. And you ran out of like A4 paper. So I remember writing plans for people on paper plates.
We wrote plans for people. We took all my paper plates and we wrote plans for people on paper plates. It was funny. That was the beginning of our. But I remember we thought about that because we had this following and people were asking us about everything. And we said to ourselves, but we don't want to be people's teachers. Once we've said this, they'll be fine on their own, right? Because we wanted to write one book. Never
That's why we wrote it 600 and blinking pages long.
We wanted to never answer another question after that. And we said in that first book, we don't want to be your gurus. Remember writing that?
Yes.
And we said, we are not your gurus. Anyway, I still don't want to be someone's guru, but I realized, even if it was reluctantly, God has set us up as teachers. And we are teaching women how to healthily respect and nurture their bodies.
Mm.
And it's a big responsibility, but it's a beautiful responsibility. I feel the mantle now so well. I feel it feels comfortable on me.
Mm.
I feel like, okay, God, you gave this to us. I'm cool doing this. You know, so, sometimes it has its ups and downs like all things. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot. But I'm thankful for it because I see the change in people. But I guess as a teacher, now that I think, okay, yeah, God, you set me up as a teacher. You set this whole thing that Serena and I are doing up. We certainly didn't come to everybody and say, we want to be your teachers, because that was the last thing we ever wanted to do.
Mm.
But now that we are, I want to say a few things as a teacher.
You go.
Finally. Okay, I'll call myself a teacher.
Put your glasses on first, Bill, would you?
I should. And so I thought to myself this morning before the potty, what would you say? You know, what would you remind people of? Paul was totally always reminding
people. Because you've been reminding people for over 15 years, but now you're a teacher, Pearl.
Now
what
I'm a teacher.
Say?
Suddenly it's all different. Suddenly you're going to respect me and listen to me and do what I say. I just thought it in a new light, Pearl. What would you say if you were a teacher? And then I realized, no, I am a teacher, but nothing to do with like big head about it. I just think, well, I am already. Why don't I talk like a teacher?
Mm.
And teachers remind people of things. That's what I learned from Paul.
So true.
So I would remind you to come back to the truth, to come back to your first love. And the truth is very basic. You know, it is, we said in that very first book, this is not being about a size 4 or even a size 6. This is about being the most healthy you that you can be. It's not about a number of on a scale. But it is about rejecting all mistruths, things that don't line up
mm-hmm.
with the beautiful way we are designed. So as Paul said to the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians and all these people that first learned the truth but then got off on tangents, it happens to all of us. It happens to even me. It happens to you, Serene.
Totally.
And I want to say, ask you today to come back to the truth. There's so many things out there that want to pull us away from the way we were designed. And we're designed in a specific manner.
And isn't the truth the yoke is light, right?
That's
such a churchy saying yoke.
When you come
back to
it, it is light. And it doesn't even matter if you're not shedding pounds galore and all that. You're just respecting your body. You're working in your design. Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl. And I'm Pearl. And who are you?
Serene.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I would like to add too that through the years, you know, of Pearl and I, well, apparently teaching.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I have never thought of myself like that at all. We would like to say now, and I'm just putting we for now because I know you'd agree with me. Let it be slow.
Yeah.
Slow. Your health journey, do not speed it up.
Yeah.
I mean, do everything healthfully. Don't try and put destructive things in there to slow it down. But just live your healthy life and the healthy way you're learning. But do not try to speed it up because slow is the healthy way. And slow weight loss is the healthiest weight loss.
That's for sure. And I've got a lot about in my new book about what happens if you do it fast, actually. Mm-hmm. It's very harmful to your body and it makes keeping it off or losing it again much harder.
Yeah.
Much, much harder. And so that's part of the initial truth, Serene. That's part of the initial comeback to the first love.
Mm-hmm.
Of this is slow. This is steady. This is not about all the pounds lost. And this is about not embracing what we said on the first book, no more fads.
Yeah.
So what are fads? What are things against our design? And I would ask you to consider that again today.
I think one could be not eating when you're hungry.
Yes.
But like if you've meals. Got, and so, yes, I'm not meals. Talking about somebody binging all day, but like having low caloric diets where they're going under what their body needs for actual proper functioning.
Yes, but very true, Serene. But I'm thinking of the very basics here. I'm thinking of if something pulls out carbs against our design.
Yeah.
Totally.
It is.
If something pulls out fats against our design, I would caution you as a teacher, shun it. Come back to the truth.
Yeah.
Always sort out what is against your design. You got to shun it.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. It's a wisdom of man. Mm-hmm. And even it has 1,000 studies behind it. It's not the way we're designed.
And even shunning any food that God made besides from allergies, like your daughter, Pearl, has a psoriasis, autoimmune condition. And so she is writing a book right now, you know, and it's going to be allergen free. So she's not having eggs in it or dairy in it or gluten and things like that. But she doesn't shun those foods in her mind.
No.
She's going back to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's looking forward to going back to them. So there may be a season where you might have to go off something for a healing approach. But knowing that overall, we don't shun any food.
No.
Unless if it's a whole food, we shun white sugar and devitalized junk. But.
Right. But even with her book, I think there are seasons, yes. I think that we can also mature. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, she's doing it egg-free because a lot of people, you know, don't do well with them and some for autoimmune. There's things that you just need to leave out for a while your body heals. The other thing as a teacher, though, that I want to say is as you mature, you're going to walk into new seasons. And the other thing I wanted to say is don't mourn your past seasons. A bit like what you were saying last week, Serene, you know, look back to wallow in the past or to think about what you could have said in the past or to mourn the past or to look at the past as harmful or look at it as a wound. But I'm saying even in your trim, healthy mama journey, there might have been times where you could eat all the heavy cream and all the cream teas, but now you're in a new season.
Right.
Maturity is finding what foods bless your new season and not looking back into the past like mourning the cheddar cheese.
Right.
That
Like I used to put down, I didn't used to, but like somebody could say, well, I used to be able to have a whole pizza and it never put a pound on me.
Yeah.
you don't have to mourn that.
No, because you're in a new season and we eat for our seasons. We eat to gel with our seasons. We eat to bless our seasons. And it should never be the way I look. No, I think one of the reasons why, you know, Paul said, do as I do. I mean, just follow me, right? So I'm not doing this to puff my head up because I've made so many mistakes and I have bad days where I'm not the person you want to follow. But mostly, I look at my new season, which is, you know, post-menopause, with just such wonder and bliss at the foods I get to eat that bless my particular body and season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all those gentle carbs and all those vegetables and all the proteins and they're leaner proteins than I used to have. Sometimes I have fatty proteins, but they're leaner. And they bless me and they work just so well with my body now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I mourned the others, I'd be in a sad state and I just want to give up
mm-hmm.
because I'd be looking back. Right. But it's looking to the now and it's looking to the future. And so that's what I'd kind of want to say. Those are ask myself right before I came here, what would I want to say as official teacher now?
Yeah. I love that, Pearl.
I might say something different next week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. And what would I like to say?
Yes.
I feel like I, you know, that's shoved in a few things. I totally rabbit trailed you and probably got you off
you
your
did.
Point. So, you know, but I think in those seasons, Pearl, even though you eat for that season, like your daughter has happened to remove a couple of things while she, while she's, you know, healing from that autoimmune condition. And you've, you know, maybe like, you've changed it, tweaked it a little bit for your postmenopausal season. But in those seasons, you're still being as inclusive as possible to the whole foods that God, to the different macronutrients, to the different types of foods. And I think that's what I would love to say, to be an include as well, you know, as much as possible. Like, Pearl, it'd be stupid for you to go and eat pasteurized cheese all day at postmenopausal.
It would.
It wouldn't be smart.
It wouldn't.
And it would be destructive for Autumn to do the same.
Yeah.
But as much in your season to be as inclusive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so so that it is a light
yoke.
Yoke.
Yeah.
It's such a Christianese term, but it is a light burden. So that food can be a celebration.
Yeah.
And your eating life can be one of freedom. And so and that was the main mantra of the whole thing that we started, food freedom. You know, and that's where I came from. I came from food. Bondage. Everything that I did was always exclusive. Like, you know, I started with vegetarianism and excluded meat.
Yeah.
See, what happens is when you get this little excluding bug in your body, it grows. Okay. So I was a vegetarian. I'm like, ooh, but I have to go further into exclusion. So I went into veganism. And then I'm like, ooh, but there's more exclusion to be had out there. And so then I went into become a raw food vegan.
Yeah.
So that's nothing cooked at all. And so I was.
You did that for 7 whole years, right?
Yeah, seven whole years through pregnancy, through nursing. So nothing cooked. No vegetable cooked, no grain cooked, nothing cooked, no animal products at all. So that was incredible exclusion. And some of the psycho gurus, when I jumped off the wagon,
yes,
the excluding wagon, do you know why I jumped off?
Why?
Well, my body was falling apart. and the pregnancies were not going so great with all of those exclusions. But the gurus that I was reading started saying, well, from here, you can go to fruitarianism, which is only fruit.
Yeah.
And then you go into airism, which you just survive on air alone.
No, it's like, a real thing.
They were crazy. Like, and then I'm like, okay, this isn't for me. I'm going to the inclusion. And so anyway, so that's my encouragement to you to be as inclusive as possible in your season.
In your season.
In your season. Of course, every season's
good.
Like when you're pregnant, there's things you're not going to have. You know, maybe you're not going to have raw sushi.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not going to have 17 cups of coffee. You know, there's going to be some tapering down the seasons. But you be as inclusive as you can in that season.
So true.
And then my other little bit of encouragement, a bit of my bent in life, is to encourage movement.
Mm.
To encourage movement. Health is not just what you put in your body. It's how you move your body. And also in that, to not go to the oppressive side of that, because I've been there, because it seems that I love to oppress myself. So, you know, that was the old Serene. I was the oppressive self who woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I did not tick the box with exercise, if I was going on a holiday to Mexico with my family and I didn't wake up at 3:30 to exercise before I got on the plane, like something crazy. Okay, I didn't go that crazy, but I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I should set the alarm for 3:30. You know, if I didn't tick the box, I would feel like an absolute miserable failure.
Mm.
And, you know, and exercise became prison bars to me. And I actually degraded my body, lost muscle mass. You know, cortisol was just surging through my body, distributing the body in a not attractive way. So I was exercising more, looking worse when exercise was a bondage to me. But when I realized, hey, the love of movement and the training of my body in smart ways, this is how I gain health. I have seen exercise be such a wonderful banner over my life in a freeing way, And so I never do long, arduous hours of exercise. But like Pearl said, there's a season for everything. Mm. I have learned to honor exercise in the season. So it will look different when I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. It will look different in the post year of having a baby. It'll look different. And then in your after 35, mm-hmm. or especially after 40, it'll look different. And so to learn the tips and the tricks in those seasons, but to not forget to move, mm-hmm. you know? And so those are my little teaching tricks.
That's so good, Serene.
But because I'm over 40, I just want to plug it. Resistance exercise to lift heavy to keep your muscle around after 40. But I wouldn't say that during pregnancy.
No.
I mean, yes, I'm not going to sit there and just have like 1 pound Barbie dumbbells. I'm going to do resistance exercise with my body weight and with, you know, maybe like a 20 pounds kettlebell. Yeah. But I'm not going to do the big heavy bar on my back when I'm pregnant.
But once again, you know, bring it. And I love that what you said, Serene. So yes, you are a natural teacher too, because
I don't know if I'm going to wear that. Young. I have to go home and
I know.
Ponder it.
It's kind of weird, right?
I've been like the worst homeschooler of my life.
I accepted it on the plane, and since then, it's been a slow build in me.
Okay.
And I realized, no, why would we shun a mantle that's been given to us, been placed upon us? We didn't beg for this.
I'll go have a cup of tea, and I'll get back to you on this one.
We didn't ask for it.
Okay.
And so we might as well embrace the mantle. All I'm saying, I'm not trying to be like Paul because he was way above us, but Paul always brought back to the balance, hey, you're too far over here or you're too far there, and that's what you were doing. Hey, exercise. You got to do something.
And I feel like
you shouldn't overdo it. You shouldn't undo it. Come find the balance. Come find the place where it services you best.
Right, and the place where you can actually last. You know, because a lot of these fads, you can't sustain it.
Yeah.
You can't sustain it. I tried to sustain some of those fads. I gave them a go. I didn't give them a year.
Yeah.
I gave them almost a decade, each one. I did.
No.
Because I'm one of those hardcore Spartans, okay?
Yeah.
And I gave them all I got. And I tell you what, if you sustain in it, your body will be decayed in it.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. You know, and so anyway, and I think the reason why maybe I'll have that cup of tea and think that maybe I can wear that too, Pearl Mantle. But I think the reason why we do have something to share is we have a lot of experience with the fads.
Yeah. No, we've that's so true
the
too. Because our passion
has always been
health and nutrition. Then you find yourself, even now, I find myself, like even as in the airport, straight away I go and like, look, new health books. Now I have learnt to read them, putting them through my filter.
Yes.
Well, I've got this filter that's straight away. I get gems from them all, but I have a filter, and straight away, like, is this sound? Is this biblical? And, you know, they don't have to quote scripture, but in my mind, well,
right,
is this
going?
Because
if they say grain is evil, unless you've got a certain autoimmune condition, you can't have it for a season. But if they're saying we all come from, you know, grok that banned, you know, squirrels with a big, you know, stick.
I think
it was
some sort of other animal.
Whatever, beavers or whatever. And we can't have cultivated food at all. Well, then I'm like, okay, well, the bread was the stuff of life. I'm closing this one.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that's so true. So we can all read all, I'm not telling you not read all the health books. Man, I jolly well do. I read all the books and there's gems of truth. But we've got to have filters. We've got to have these antennas for things that are extreme, that are against our design. We've just got to bring ourselves back to it. We got to bring ourselves daily back to the truth. To the truth, because we can get out on tangents easily.
And that's why the Bible is our filter, is because mm-hmm. He created our body. The Creator created our body. So He'll be the blueprint for us. Thank you.
Thank you. I know. And He told us what's good for us. He said eat your carbs. He said eat your fats. He said eat your proteins.
And He had feasts too. You know, it was all about celebration. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. I love that. Drank some good wine. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All your wine bibbers. But He said not to overdo too.
That's right.
So there's your beautiful, beautiful balance.
Exactly.
And you know, of course, you don't have to be a wine bibber. Serene drinks like what? A tablespoon?
Yeah,
but
like
boy,
my tablespoon.
She can describe that tablespoon. Every time we go on a really nice dinner, if we go to Mexico, you know, we'll buy a bottle of wine and we'll all sip, but we'll all try our best. Like, oh, you detect that hint of pepper. You know, is that like nectarine or so? But we all wait because we were just waiting for Serene. So she takes her time. She doesn't think about it. And then 10 minutes later, she will start with the the front of the wine. She would tell us about the body, and then she would tell us about the finish. And it's so right. And at the end, we're like, yes. Oh my goodness. How does she know? Like I always say, if Serena, if you weren't doing Trim Healthy Mama, you could be hired by the wine labels and they would pay you oodles of money to describe their wines.
And I can't ever drink more than a tablespoon.
Yeah.
Like I love my tablespoon. After that, it's like, I can't.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl. And who are you?
Serene.
Trim Healthy Mama. Superfood Spotlight.
Hey, so I'm excited for this Superfood Spotlight because warm weather is starting, and every warm weather season, I just start buying all the cherries. Do you know what I love them, Serene? I love them on a side to a sandwich.
Oh, you do?
And I've been so into sandwiches lately because you've been giving me a loaf of bread every week.
Oh, yes.
And you know, you think, well, you need something crunchy on the side of your sandwich, you know, but cherries are that perfect little pop of crunch and tart flavor and sweetness. And I love that they have a pip.
Yes.
Because it makes eating them longer. You can't just stuff them in and swallow. You have to daintily eat around the pip and then pull the pip out.
Yes,
so it makes your eating experience longer.
Pips are brilliant in life. Like if you just had cherries and no pips, right? If you just had, well, everything just works smooth and easy and never a pip.
I know.
You know, never a pip.
So I kind of love that, you know, they take the pips out of the frozen ones, but that's different because you're not eating them one by one.
Well, I do. I eat a frozen cherry one by one.
Do you?
When not in season, I don't give up on my cherries, you see. I like to have them. I have a little refrigerator in my bedroom. It has a freezer on top.
That's hardcore.
Well, I have a little lair. It's like a little, you know, it's a little place, a hangout place for me and my husband.
Oh, so I
have a little kitchen. So I have a little refrigerator, and I have frozen cherries in there. So in the evening, and I want a little snack before bed, I'll have a bowl of frozen by my bed and just lay in the bed and eat frozen cherries as I go off to sleep.
Oh, that's good because cherries have, let's talk about the health benefits. Cherries are one of those potent foods for upping your melatonin, right?
And your serotonin and your tryptophan. So all three.
Three are perfect sleep aids. So if you do want to eat in the late evening, we usually say don't, but cherries would be fine.
Well, we usually say don't, but I always do. Yeah, and I always say do to me. Like I have my own little plan going, and that plan is I always eat before I go to bed.
Yeah, you're a high metabolism girl.
I can't not. It's like somehow I eat and then I sleep better.
Some people are like that. Yeah. So it would be a wise before bed option.
I don't eat gobs of peanut butter or heavy fat.
No, and you wouldn't want to even do heavy cream with it because you're going to sleep.
I don't eat dessert before I go to bed. I either eat like berries, cherries, a fruit or a very lean protein.
Or you even do a teaspoon of honey sometimes.
Or a very lean protein or a teaspoon of raw Manuka honey or something. But yeah, and do you know another time they're really nice? The fresh cherries. Talking about sleep, this is not going to sleep. This is waking up. Sometimes if I'll have a nap like twice a year, and that ends up being in the summertime, and I put a bowl full of beautiful cherries. I go for sleep and I wake up, and you know, you just wake up and I just put my finger over to the bowl as I wake up and I just eat the cherries before my eyes.
I've never done that in my life.
The best
really?
Spa moment of your life. Cherries
upon
to end
waking.
A nap. Oh, fresh.
Let's talk about why cherries are so good. I think one of the first reasons, think about their color.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those flavonoids.
Yeah,
anthocyanins. Those flavonoids.
How are we meant to say it?
I don't know, but our precious Mary, Tito Mary that lives on the hilltop, every time we say it wrong, I hear from her, you're driving me crazy, girls. You're saying it wrong.
Love you, Mary. But they get rid of chronic inflammation. They're very high in antioxidants. We say that about most things. And, you know, God put antioxidants in a lot of things, but these are very, very high. You know, the antioxidants get rid of your free radicals that are from the pollutants in the world today. But also our body can create free radicals as well, but they get rid of the free radicals. Free radicals can create disease. Pearl, this is a funny thing. You know how they say eat cherries after working out because they're so high in anti-inflammatory properties.
They help pain from workouts.
Yeah.
That's how powerful they are. But Serena and I would like to say something different to that.
Yes.
It's
well,
gonna
actually,
blow
Pearl,
you.
I can't take the glory because Pearl was coming over and I just finished a heavy weight workout. And I'm like, Pearl, I do this great thing. I sip vitamin C during my workout and I don't get any pain afterwards. And she goes, you know, Serene, you're not meant to sip vitamin C as a supplement. Maybe you could have like a piece of fruit that has vitamin C in it. That's just in small amounts, yeah. But actually supplemental antioxidants during your workout or just before or just after, like an hour before, during, or an hour after, because you want your body to respond in the inflammatory approach during exercise, because that's how it breaks down and builds up and you get bigger muscles.
Yeah. So you don't, it's just, we're going on a segue here, but you don't want to do anything that pulls down inflammation right around your workout. You want, inflammation's a funny thing. You don't want it systematically high in your body, but you do want it when you actually break down your muscle.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to stop that happening or else you'll never build
muscle. And we're not saying
muscle.
Don't eat cherries after a walk.
No.
We're talking about training.
We're talking about, breaking your muscle with a hard weight or something very intense,
yes.
Like a jump sore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, any aerobic exercise. Sure, go on a walk, eat cherries. I'm not saying that. But something that will cause muscle pain.
Well,
you
I don't
actually
think a jog is not breaking down your muscles. A sprint session, you do 4 sprint hills or something, that's fine. But jogs don't build your muscles.
I want everyone to know that if you do one of our work-ins or some workout and you think, oh, I'm so sore the next day, good.
Yes.
You want the sore.
That's right. So don't eat cherries after a workout because they're so wonderful
they're
and
so
high in antioxidants.
Powerfully inflammatory.
Eat them any other time.
But guess what? Guess why you do want that pain during after your exercise? Because it's all to do with interleukin-6.
Yeah.
Your body actually takes that inflammation from the rest of your body, pulls it into your muscles.
Yes.
Isn't that great? So it pulls down systemic inflammation and it uses it for muscle growth.
I love
that. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And I was like doing all these weight workouts and undoing it with this wonderful little vitamin C recipe drink that I made up. Oh, well, you live and you learn. And my big sister taught me something wonderful. But was this about exercise or cherries?
No, cherries.
Cherries. Get back to cherries. No, I really love during a movie to do cherries as my movie snack.
It's a hand to mouth.
I love it. And the pip makes it take longer. Mm. And if they're frozen and pipless, the freeze makes it take longer.
That's true.
Because you have to go, because they don't get your teeth too cold.
Very, very cold. I don't like too cold things. So no, I'd rather them fresh. Love them in smoothies though. Guys, if you've never had our chocolate covered cherry, is it shake? I think it's a shake. So good. It's an E and it tastes like it's the most indulgent.
Well, I tell you, cherry and the flavor notes of cocoa.
Yes.
They marry so well.
They do.
I love it.
The reason cherries are good is because they're, again, quercetin content. We've been talking so much about quinoa lately. Why is quinoa so good? High in quercetin, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, cherries are not quite as high as quinoa, but they're high. They're one of the, considered a very high quercetin content food. And that is why they are so good for people who have arthritis or gout. They can help prevent the flares
of
gout.
Yes, exactly. I was just seeing that. Yeah, that's so wonderful.
Now, that's specifically with tart cherries.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's studies that show when people drink tart cherry juice, but I never recommend drinking the juice because it also spikes the sugar. And sugar spikes uric acid, which can then spike flares of gout. So just take the supplement if you're going to do a supplement.
Tart cherry extract.
Or eat cherries. They're found, even sweet cherries, even Bing cherries help.
But I tell you what, I love that cherry mix that has the sweet and the tart and then the really
the different
deep
colored
hue.
Ones.
Oh, love it. You know, they also lower cholesterol, cherries. Yeah. They reduce blood pressure.
Yeah, they're very low glycemic too. I think
they help with type 2 diabetes.
Yes,
they do. They prevent and help it.
I think they're for one cup, they have about a 22. Which for a fruit is really good.
Yeah, they do not spike the blood sugar.
And so, I'll be honest, guys. I mean, we kind of give suggestions. The best way when you first come to Trim Healthy Mama about don't overdo a lot of fruits in one sitting. You please have plenty of fruits, but don't like overdo them and spike your blood sugar. And so we, have a limit of, what's the suggested serving size for cherries? 1 cup. But sometimes in the summer, I will buy a packet of cherries. If I buy organic cherries and I'm on the way home and it takes me a good half an hour to drive home.
Oh, yeah, you'll eat that whole thing.
I mean, I'll be eating more than 1 cup of cherries.
Now, we said those hard rules, especially because the whole overall
people
that are coming to the plan, they may have come from abusive sugar backgrounds where they're pre-diabetic
and
or
they
diabetic.
Have to get their blood sugar stable.
So we set a rule that was good for everybody. It was a safe parameter for everybody. But if you know that you handle those gentle carbohydrates well, you don't have to be hard and fast.
No, you don't.
The one cup. Oh, I can't have one cherry past one cup. Well, I sit there and have two. Thank you very much.
That's all I'm saying. Cherries are so good, so healthy. It's not going to hurt you.
They boost mood. For the same reason that they help, you know, sleep, they
serotonin.
Yeah, it's incredible to improve mental health. The sweet cherries in particular decrease cortisol, Pearl.
Yes, and that's so good for, it stops weight on the tummy.
Yeah. So, and you know, we were talking about blood sugar. Not only are they just lower glycemic in nature, the polyphenols are found in the cherry, they help reduce the hyperglycemia.
Yes. And what was I going to say? Oh, you know how they have high amounts of melatonin that help you sleep?
Yes.
What happens to you if you eat cherries in the morning, though? I've never felt kind of sleepy afterwards.
Well, I think it works with the circadian rhythm.
Okay. So it just stores up in your body. We'll put that down.
No, I just think it works because at nighttime you have higher concentrations of melatonin naturally and it just kind of like folds you over,
Yeah, folds you over.
Enhances memory too. Cherries are amazing. I'm distracted.
Totally. Naughty John and naughty Jeremiah.
Anyway, do we say I'm distracted, take it out, Tim?
No, it's all good. But that's about it because I'm like next grocery store stop. I've been longing for cherries.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loading up on them.
Oh, man. And cherries too. Oh, my goodness. In like a bake, an oatmeal bake.
Yes,
or muffins.
Cherries. But I love cherries in my salads.
Yeah,
I wrote
a
salad. Which book was it in? Was it in the table book?
No.
Might have been the cookbook. I pitted the cherries because you don't want, this is what you don't want.
Well, why didn't you
put a bunch of salad in your mouth and have a pit at the same time?
Oh, you can't do that. That's like having olives with pits in it in your salad. It's wrong.
So the only way you can do pits with cherries is one by one.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
Thank you, teacher.
But you still want cherries in your salad. They're amazing.
Do I really though?
Oh, Serene, you've never had cherries in your salad?
Do I really? Do I want to waste them on a salad?
They're so good. I love sweet pops in my salad.
I know you do.
I'm actually working on a recipe right now, cherry edamame salad.
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Baby. You're going to love it. Bye.
Bye. Trim healthy mama.